But Hamas, like Islamists in general, those fanatical Muslims, they were very stubborn. They kept saying, we're ready to restore the ceasefire. We're ready to restore the ceasefire. Israel has to gradually lift that blockade of Gaza. Those were the terms of the ceasefire. Israel said no. Hamas had to stop its rocket and mortar attacks. But Israel did make no commitment that it would lift the blockade of Gaza. By the end of December, Sarah Roy of Harvard University, the world's leading authority on the Gaza economy, she was writing, the breakdown of an entire society is happening in front of us in Gaza, but there is little international response beyond UN warnings, which are ignored. And now the people of Gaza, the leadership of Gaza, they basically had two stark options. One was to acquiesce in their gradual, in their incremental destruction. Or two, to resist, to fight. Hamas chose the second option, to resist, although it was largely a symbolic resistance. Even the Israeli commander in Gaza, the former Israeli commander in Gaza, he said, speaking to his fellow Israelis, he said, you cannot just land blows, leave the Palestinians in Gaza in economic distress, and expect that Hamas will just sit around and do nothing. It's easy enough to condemn Hamas for its rocket and mortar attacks on Israel, and all the human rights organizations did so. But if you're going to condemn Hamas for those rocket and mortar attacks, you also have an obligation to say, well, what should they have done instead? If you don't offer them an alternative or an option, then you're in effect saying that the people of Gaza had a legal and moral obligation to just lie still and die. In any event, Israel decided to expedite the process, and on December 27th, it invaded Gaza. The invasion lasted 22 days, and Amnesty International called the 22 days of death and destruction. But what happened in Gaza in those 22 days? Nowadays, when newspapers and the media, when they refer back to those 22 days, they refer to it as the Gaza War. It was a war in Gaza. Even the reputable human rights organizations, when they put out reports on what happened in Gaza, they refer to the Gaza War. And Israel, of course, is emphatic there was a war in Gaza. We're very pleased with the result. They said, now we've shown these Arabs, those Muslims, who's who and what's what, and who's in charge in this little corner of the world. And if we show them who's who and what's what, and who's in charge, it's because we won the war in Gaza. We won the war in Gaza, the Israelis said. But then along came an Israeli strategic analyst, and he said, it's very dangerous for Israel. It's very dangerous for Israel to believe that it won the war in Gaza, when there was no war. In reality, not a single battle was fought during the 22 days of fighting. An Israeli foreign ministry official, he said, there was no war. Hamas sat in its bunkers and came out, and it was all over. Well, if there was no war in Gaza, what happened in Gaza? On a military plane, it's fairly straightforward. The attack on Gaza began what was called the air phase of the assault. And by the end of the 22 days, Israel had flown about 2,800 or 3,000 combat missions over Gaza. Every plane returned, not a single plane was downed. In fact, not a single plane was damaged, which is not altogether too surprising because the Palestinians in Gaza, they had no anti-aircraft defenses to speak of. After the first week, Israel then embarked on what they called the air and land assault on Gaza. Israeli troops, soldiers, they were equipped with special night fighting equipment. Hamas couldn't even see them, let alone engage with them. So there was no fighting, no planes down, no planes damaged. Hamas couldn't even see the Israeli soldiers when they assaulted Gaza. What did happen in Gaza? And here we have what you might call unimpeachable testimony. We have the testimony of the Israeli soldiers themselves, because after the 22 days, many of them stepped forward and described what they experienced in Gaza. They bore witness to their experience. Soldier, there was nothing there, ghost towns, except for some livestock, nothing moved. Soldier, most of the time it was boring, there were not really too many events. Soldier, I did not see one single Arab the whole time we were there, that whole week. Soldier, everyone was disappointed about not engaging anymore. Soldier, usually we did not see a living soul, except for our soldiers, of course, not a soul. Soldier, go ahead, ask the other soldiers how often they encountered combatants in Gaza. Nothing, no one. There was supposed to be a tiny resistance force upon entry, soldier, but there just wasn't any. Well, sounds kind of surreal. A war with only one side. It's almost funny. And it would be funny until you hear the second half. And for the second half, it's easy enough for any of you to check on your own. You should. All you have to do is go to your computer, enter under Google the words breaking the silence, and what will come up on your screen is a collection of testimonies by Israeli soldiers on their experiences. And then in the search function, all you have to do is enter the word insane. And if you enter the word insane, it comes up once, twice, three times, insane, 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 six times, seven times, insane. Soldier after soldier. They were interviewed separately, they were on a queue with each other, but the same word leaps to mind for each soldier when he is being interviewed. Israel used insane amounts of firepower in Gaza. Israel used insane amounts of firepower in Gaza. Israel used insane amounts of firepower in Gaza. No battles, no enemy in the field, no foe to tangle with, but Israel's using insane amounts of firepower in Gaza. One soldier said, this was firepower such as I had never known. There were blasts all the time. The earth was constantly shaking. Another soldier said, on the ground, you hear these thunderous blasts all day long. I mean, not just tank shelling, which is a tune that no one gotten used to, but blasts that actually rock our outposts. So what did happen in Gaza? Actually, the Israeli soldiers, they produced the most telling metaphors of what happened in Gaza. One soldier said, it felt like hunting season had begun. Sometimes it reminded me of a PlayStation computer game. Another soldier said, you felt like a child playing around with a magnifying glass, burning up ends. You felt like a child with a magnifying glass, burning up ends. Well, actually that description, that simile, was remarkably accurate. Among the substances, weapons Israel used in Gaza was the white phosphorus, which it routinely uses in its encounters with the Arabs, Muslim world. I never particularly paid much attention to what the white phosphorus was. It has an ominous sounding name, but at this time around, I did start looking into the details. White phosphorus reaches a temperature of 816 degrees Celsius. You use Celsius here in Canada, correct? Yeah, 816 degrees Celsius. Well, as Oprah would say, she's American, as Oprah would say, try wrapping your mind around that one.